Progressive presents, don't do it yourself.
Okay, fixing a water heater. Easy peasy.
Oh yeah? So you know how to secure this gift joint?
Yeah.
Detach the steam pump?
Takes 2 seconds.
And fasten the dooble to the pressure tube?
Yeah, my dad taught me how to do that.
Oh, that's interesting, because I made all those things up. Look, we should just bundle our home and auto with Progressive. We could save big, then pay someone to do it for us.
That's cool. This dooble's the wrong size anyway.
Save when bundling home and auto with Progressive and use the money to, you know, not do it yourself. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 27th day of September 2022. And again tonight we have on the board none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And my co-host tonight, none other than Pastor Joe Larson, the parson.
Hey, I don't know where you came up with that parson thing, but I'll live with it.
Do you know what a parson is? Do you know what a parson is, don't you?
Well, I know what it means to parse something.
Well, a parson is a country pastor.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I guess that would have to qualify where I live, yes.
That's right, definitely. And I mean, if you don't know that, you should never even try to ride a mule.
No, but I wondered why you, you know. I think
all right.
It came with that double larceny joke of yours, so. With two Larsons, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's something, how I ended up with two Larsons. And one of them's a parson.
Maybe you were just blessed.
It could be. Yeah. Maybe there's another word for blessed. But anyhow, let's go here. The title of the message was, remember?
God's Righteous Vengeance.
That's right. It's not a message that gets preached very often.
You know,
again.
And it's probably one that most of our listeners have never heard, I would venture to say.
And that's right. And the vast majority of preachers out there, they do not want to offend the offering plate with a message from God's, but God's Word, the Bible, has a lot to say about God's vengeance, doesn't it?
Yes, it has quite a bit.
And
more than most people realize, because they don't go there.
Do people in this country today, more than ever, do they more than ever need to know about God's vengeance?
No, his vengeance and that little word that they throw around, the wrath of God, they forgot it really means something.
That's absolutely right. And so here, we need to pick it up where we left off tonight. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, read verses 35 through 53. And so, I tell you what, you go ahead and pick it up and read 35 through 47, and then I'll pick it up.
All right. Through 47. All right. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants, which he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hosea, the son of Nun, Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, and the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it.
And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up unto the mountain Ebarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and gather up unto thee people, as Aaron and thy brother died in Mount Hor, and gather unto his people, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel in the waters of Meribeth Kadesh, and in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give the children of Israel. Now, so he starts by saying, to me belongeth vengeance and recompenses. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Could that possibly apply to any people more than it does, well, to the people in Israel and the people in America today?
Well, I lost contact with the station, but I do know from previous Bible studies, very often you can take and substitute America for Israel, and it is just as true today as it was then.
Absolutely. Now, because of through technology, the wickedness is worse than ever. What is taking place? And here, the ability to do things, like today they're making candy out of some of the most powerful drugs, and they're disguising it. I mean, the horrible things that's being done today, and it's not going to be spoken by the fake news media, because they're a branch of the Democratic Communist Party, which is just flush. It's just flush with pedophiles. It's flush with child molesters, but nobody wants to talk about it, because the so-called elite within the Democratic Party, the Antichrist system, they own the media. They're all a part of that, okay? And so people are afraid to talk about what's happening out there today. And 366 times in God's Word, the Bible, Joe, it says to fear not, but apparently that has gone over the heads of most today. Now, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. Now, let me ask you a question. When it says the Lord shall repent himself, is that like the way men repent?
No. It's not like the way men repent. But
well,
God, it means he decides to have mercy. He has a change of heart because of mercy.
Well, repent means to turn around and go in the other direction, means that you've gone in the wrong direction. Now,
we repent because we've sinned and we have to turn from our wicked ways toward God, toward the light, toward the truth. But when God repents, he is the light, he is the truth, he's just added mercy.
Okay.
That's the way I can say it.
Well, did God know in advance? Was he well aware of how the people would react, what they were going to do? Okay.
Yes.
So
he knew
so,
before creation, the entire story of creation, because he's at the beginning of all things, at the end, and everywhere in between. And so before he did creation, he knew everything that would happen.
So now, since he knew that, why did he, since he knew how men would react, why did he give them a free choice, a free will, if he knew how they were going to respond to the to his commands and to his judgment and to his his ability to give them that opportunity for free will?
Well, I'm going to take a wild guess at something that came to me long ago, was that God wanted mankind to love him as he loved his creation, and he wanted love given freely by those of us who had the choice to love him, accept him, and or to reject him. And so he knew there would be a lot of bad choices, and he knew that he would have to find a way for sinful man to get to the presence of a holy, righteous God. Even the great heroes of the faith had committed some pretty horrible sins. So it was his idea of mercy, and that he would have to, with free will, he would have to tolerate some of the, I wouldn't call it unintended consequences, because he knew exactly the consequences of giving us free will, but we could still, those of us could love him because we chose to.
So, in other words, every time we see where it says God repented himself, that means that because God is omniscient, all-knowing, he knows, you know, beginning from the end, that in every situation where that says that, that repentance is something totally different than when it applies to man.
Right.
And so, in other words, God knew the beginning from the end. He knew how it would come out, but God's ways are much, much higher than ours, and you're right. He wanted to give us the opportunity. And again, it's beyond, way beyond our capability of even beginning to try to understand God's ways, because their ways are so much higher than ours. Even though he tells us in 1 Corinthians over there, chapter 2, that in Christ we have the mind of God, and yet there's things that we won't know until we get to glory.
We have the mind like our Creator, but certainly not the mind of, in the way we think of, his knowledge, his understanding, capabilities. We have a mind like unto his. And again, like God said, well, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He loved us because we were his creation. He wanted the love to come back to him. And he didn't want to make robots that would just obey him. He wanted people that could give him love freely.
All right. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you. Now let them be your
all
protection.
False gods, yep, that can do nothing.
Okay, so now that I am he. Now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of thy hand. So let me ask you this then. Who else can kill and then yet make alive?
No one. I noticed when he said there is no God, you notice in the Bible it is a small g. There is no even little God like him. There's only one God, only one omnipotent, omnipresent, you know, God.
Well, and here, yeah, usually with a small g, that word God usually refers actually to, it's the same word used to for judge, same word used mm-hmm. for judge, but here, yeah, he's making a point, there is no judge but me. I right. kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. And so, in other words, so only God can kill and then make alive.
Right.
So you heard all these people say, well, you know, I was clinically dead. I was clinically dead for 25 minutes, but then they brought me back to life. How is that different than what God says?
The word they, it was God brought the person back, or God allowed it to happen. It wasn't.
Remember that fellow named Lazarus, the one that...
Yeah, the one whose body stunk in the grave was actually rotting away, deteriorating, and God returned him to full health. Scientifically, that is totally, totally, totally impossible.
Who was present at the Mount of Transformation?
There were three apostles. Oh, wait, you're talking about when Christ transfigured to talk to Abraham and Moses?
Yeah.
I can remember Abraham and Moses, but I can't remember who the apostles were.
Well, Peter, the apostle was, Peter was there, John.
John,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so now here, but the
Peter,
point
John,
was...
Who was the third?
I'm trying to remember myself. But the point was, how long had Abraham and Moses been dead?
A very long time.
Okay, so now here again, when we go, when God says, what's going to take place at the rapture of the church?
We will be, our spirits will be given a new glorified body.
All right, now, when Christ was crucified,
we may not know what he looks like, but we will be like him. Whatever form he comes in, we will be made like unto him.
All right. So, when Christ was crucified and he arose, what happened to the graves there?
We know many graves were opened, and the dead got up and walked around the city of Jerusalem.
Because Christ was the resurrection, wasn't he?
Right. I am the resurrection. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, now he says this. He said, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrow drunk with the blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, for the beginning of revengers upon the enemy. Well, it's an interesting thing, too, because... You know, if you look up the definition of an arrow in the dictionary, what do you know what the definition is, especially in the older ones, of an arrow?
No, I don't remember.
A guided missile.
That's right.
That's what a guided missile is, an arrow. Now, do we have guided missiles today?
We sure do.
Okay.
All kinds.
He just says here, and my sword shall devour. What that word for sword there throughout Scripture? What, you know, if you look that word up, what is the definition of the word sword? It's a weapon. It's a weapon.
Right.
So
it's a weapon. It doesn't really. It can be many different kinds of things, but a sword is a handheld weapon.
Right. Well, it could be a handheld weapon, but the definition of sword, the sword of the Lord. Okay. Now, have you ever read your Bible?
God. Right. God's word is the sword. He created the universe with a word. Jesus spoke. and by the power of the Holy Spirit, everything was created. So
the Word of God,
destroyed by the Word.
The Word of God is a two-edged sword that can divide amongst what? The soul and the spirit, can it not?
Spirit, right. And it said, like, when Christ comes back, he was riding his white horse, and out of his mouth was a double-edged sword.
Okay, so do you think that double-edged sword, you say it was like this huge metal sword that goes out for miles and miles? Or, no, what about this? Do you think the sword, the weapon, was the Word of God, the very
right.
Word? Okay.
Out of his mouth comes the Word of God, and that Word alone can create or destroy.
So when we see
the most powerful weapon in the world.
So when we see the Lord returning to the earth with all of his saints, it talks about his armies, and it refers to four categories of saints. The first being angels, then you had the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the tribulation saints. Now the sword, the weapon that he uses that proceeded out of his mouth, was simply a command to his saints, go get them.
Yeah.
And so here he goes on to say, rejoice, O you nations with people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance on his adversaries and will be merciful unto the land and to his people. Why is it important? Why is it important that people understand, okay, that God is a righteous God, he's a holy God, and he must punish sin? And why is that important? And why is it important that the preachers boldly preach and warn the people when he says warn the wicked and warn the righteous? He's saying he's telling you to do what?
So tell everybody the truth so they understand very clearly. God doesn't stutter. When he says something, he means exactly what he says. And then he says, I want none. He wants really none of his creation to perish.
Okay.
He wants them all to come to him, but those that will not will be cast into the lake of fire, and he's given us fair warning. And I noticed right there, too, when it said that reward them that hate me, reward them with what's coming. His judgment, the wages of sin are death, right?
Right. He goes on to say this, and Moses spake all the words of the song to the ears of the people, and he and Hoshea, the son of Nun, and Moses made an end of speaking all the words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do. All the words of this law. How does that apply to the pastors and the parents today?
It applies exactly as it did to Moses, giving that it was God's command, and we are to do the same.
Okay.
So we'll do likewise.
Then he says to Moses, I want you to go up.
Before you go on, I want to back up where it said, notice in verse 43, and will be merciful unto his land. Because when he comes back in the millennial kingdom, the first thing is the waters that flow from the throne of heaven will restore the entire earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. So he will also, cleanse his land, as well as the people.
Okay, he said, the Lord spake
the promise he made, right, to restore the earth.
Yeah, he's going to remake it over. It's going to be totally remade, like you said. Now, and the Lord spake unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, go into thee up into the Mount Abiram and to Mount Nebo, which is the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Now, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and gather up thy people as Aaron and thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered up unto his people, because You trespass against me among the children of Israel in the waters of Meribath Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I gave unto the children of Israel. Now, here, what was it that Moses did there that did refuse to sanctify, that offended God? It was amazing.
He was told to speak to the stone, and he got mad, and he struck the stone 3 times with his staff, and he was told to speak to it, the word.
Well, you're close, okay? He was supposed to speak to the stone and then strike it once.
Okay, after he spoke once. But
right.
He struck it in anger without speaking.
Right. Now, the rock was a type of Christ. The rock was the type of Christ. Out of the rock came the water, which was
the waters.
Which was salvation through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
Right. And that's why saying certain words was so important, because
right,
Jesus is Logos, the Word.
The striking of the rock was the crucifixion of Christ. And so you have people here today that think, well, I lost my salvation. I've heard people say they lost their salvation, they got it back. Well, no. First of all, you can't lose your salvation, because you don't keep your salvation. God keeps your salvation.
Right.
Okay.
Nobody, if once you're in the Father's hands, no one can take you from them.
Now, the most precious quantity of substance that ever existed was the blood of Christ, because it alone could buy salvation, eternal life, that no other... No other substance in the entire universe could do that. And so, here now, God the Father would never, ever trust men with keeping their salvation, because if you could lose it, you would lose it. All it would take
Amen.
Is a sin.
You're right. Men would definitely, if they could, would do it.
And so now, the idea was that here, that the blood of Christ that atoned for your sin, and that in order to, if you could lose your salvation, to get it back, Christ would have to hang on the cross again.
Yeah.
And he made it very clear that when he said it is finished, it was done once and for all. There would be no more atonement for the sins. So once you're saved, your sins are taken away, past, present, and future. We'll be right back after this.
A strange sensation has seized a nation. Man, things are suddenly peculiarly odd. Instead of thugs and thieves of breaking down our doors, we now deplore the federal forfeiture squads, who have a blessing from our Congress to take a cut of everything they can steal. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, things have suddenly become unreal. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. They got new laws now, they're calling loan fraud. Looks like our law enforcement grew a new arm. You make misrepresentation on your loan application, you might just have to forfeit the farm. The crazy fact is, it's retroactive, which lets them loot your life historically. You may be dead in your grave, but if you did not behave, you might just forfeit up your family tree. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
just whose side are you on? When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. The ATF and the FBI just hired the KGB. The ADL's got a list for sale, but you're anti-Semitic.
Now, how could they call it a conspiracy?
My widowed mama, they stole her condo on another federal seizure forfeiture spree. She made the tragic mistake of renting to some reprobate they caught with drugs inside her property. They say her condo somehow is guilty. Now, have you ever heard a condo confess? Here in the land of the free and the home of the slave, it's a tangled legal web of a mess. Mama's estate. Please, please, federal policeman. Now this is 10 times worse than Whitewater Gate. Before you pass right on through somebody's private front door, you better check that oath of office you take. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. Federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. Please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, you do the Constitution bodily.
I don't want to listen. You know what? Hey, Joe, let me ask you a question. If you were an FBI agent and you had to go and see someone like that man, Mr. Hauk, Mark Hauk, who, he was the pro-life activist, and you were going to his house to arrest him for doing the right thing, for saving babies, how many of it would it take? I mean, I would go out by myself to do that if I had to. Do you think it would take 25 or 30?
No, I think it would take one person to go serve a warrant and tell, have him say, you need to come with me, would you get dressed, and we'll be real quiet around the children, and we'll go work, deal with this away from the family.
Hey, Joe, I knew some FBI.
The same thing, Ruby Ridge, there's so many other places that would have been able to have taken place. But the FBI doesn't work that way. They want to instill fear instead of trust and respect. They want the people to fear them rather than trust and respect them, and I'll never understand why.
Well, I can tell you, Joe. You see, you don't understand. You don't understand.
That's called a softball.
It's you have toys. See, Joe. Remember when you were a young fella and you went into the military for the first time and you got that uniform and you got that rifle and you got that .45 and you got those hand grenades? All of those kind of made you feel powerful, didn't it?
Yeah, you had a little bit of excitement and thrill there, yep.
Did you grow out of that, though, Joe?
Real quickly.
Well, you see, now some of these guys don't. Now, the FBI agents I knew, well, those toys really didn't affect them. They had a job to do, and so they did their job. And they had this thing called integrity. In other words, you didn't want to overkill, and they weren't there to terrorize little children. They weren't there to jump up and point guns in the face of little children to see how much they could scare them. See, the FBI agents I knew were way above that. They were people that were way above that. They would never do such a thing. But now, you see, Merrick Garland and Chris Wray's got the Dirty 30. These are guys that love to go around and scare little children and point guns in their faces and that. Do you know why, Joe? They don't have any integrity. They have no honor.
They must be on a power trip, some kind of sadistic power trip, because even most of the soldiers I know, guys that would, you know, been in some very violent combat, still could not act that way. If there was an easy, nice way to handle something, that's what you did.
Always. Right. So now, like my advice would be to these guys to grow out of that, right? And try to get some honor and integrity back. Joe, when we were in the
try and change. Yeah.
When we were in the military, Joe, if we were given an order that we knew was an unlawful order, we knew it was an unlawful order. We knew that. What was our duty to our country and our service?
To obey the Constitution and not follow an unlawful order. You might have to face the consequences, but it was taught that it was a moral thing to do, and that's what you did. Fortunately, I never had to make that choice. I was never given an order like that.
Well, but you see, Joe, you knew what you had to do if it was given to you. But now, long before we had that in the military, there was a thing called the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. And
that's
we see that.
Scripture.
Yeah, we see that all the way back. Well, we see that with Shifra and Pua, back, and Moses back in Exodus. They knew that they had to obey God. They had to do the right thing, right? And
right.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Moses, they all knew that they had to obey God. Right. They all knew that they had to obey God. And see, and so here now, the idea for any of you FBI agents and ATF and police out there that are listening, pay close attention to this, because you see, when I'm just the messenger here, we're telling you what the Word of God says, but the message is coming from the Word of God. And you need to pay close attention to that, because, you know, we just did that passage in Deuteronomy about vengeance, okay? Does God mean what he says, Joe?
Oh, does he ever? His words are eternal. They last forever. So I'd say that when your words last forever and mean the same thing from the moment they were spoken until the end of time, which will not happen, that's about as powerful and true as you can get.
All righty, we have to, and again, whose job is it? There's one profession more than any other whose job it is to stand for righteousness and tell the truth boldly tell the truth without compromise.
Well, that's what God called his watchmen to do, is warn the people, tell them the truth.
Those are the pastors, right?
Right.
Those are the pastors. Pastors out there, it's your job to be up front. It's your job to boldly and courageously say, thus saith the Lord God, and then to lead the people in obedience to God and stand hard against the wickedness and the Antichrist tyranny. All righty, we got to switch gears here a little bit, Joe, here. Culture war erupts in Texas town over drag bingo. Event hosted by, now listen to this, you see, this is an article by Darlene McCormick Sanchez. Now, what Darlene doesn't understand is what is a Christian. She doesn't understand what a Christian is, because here, outside a drag bingo event held by pro-LGBT Democrats in a Christian church in Texas. Now, here, first of all, Joe, are Christians LGBT?
No.
Okay, so, but if you
profess to be, but they cannot be, because they cannot have any possession in their heart of the Holy Spirit and be part of that group, because that group is an abomination unto God.
Okay, so God hasn't changed that, has he?
No, God hasn't changed, and I hate to tell those people, but he's not going to either.
So let me ask you this. If we're dealing with reality, okay, now, if today, if you're a Democrat, and you feel that, if you're a male, and you feel that you're a female, like, if you say, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to be a woman, And then I'll go back to being a man on Thursday. But in reality, can that actually happen?
No.
So then all of them people at NBC, ABC, CBS, and the public education system, they've got it wrong, don't they?
Well, they're telling a big, huge lie, because anyone that had any science class in high school even understands that, you know, the female had two X chromosomes, the male has an X and a Y chromosome, and that affects every one of the billions of cells in the bodies, and you cannot change this.
Yeah, but Joe, what if you don't feel that way? What if you feel like you're a woman?
I could say I feel like Superman, but I know what'll happen if I leap off the Empire State Building and try and fly.
Okay.
I'm not going to fly.
So then
how much think I'm going to. That doesn't make any difference what I think or feel.
Okay, so then these here, when they put here church, when they call themselves a Christian church, then Darlene McCormick Sanchez doesn't understand that Christians are not sodomites, that sodomy is a horrible, God's Word, the Bible calls it an abomination. It's an abomination. It's an unclean thing, okay? And so here, Darlene McCormick Sanchez, you should be a little more careful when you write this, because I'm sure she apparently doesn't understand what a Christian church is. Now, this actually is a church of Satan. It's
right.
Actually a church of Satan.
Satan.
Right. It's called
That's a good time to tell people, remind them that the church is not a building. That building you go to is not a church. God said the church are, he calls us lively stones, living stones. Those that are saved are living stones, and we are built upon the cornerstone, which is Christ himself. So the living stones build a living church that worships a living, risen Lord. That is the true church.
So now these people...
In a field, a barn, a house, whatever.
These people at the first, they call it the First Christian Church, but these people there in Katy, they actually, because... Satanism, well, sodomy is a sin. Where does sin come from? Who was the first sinner?
Satan.
So sodomy is a sin. So a satanic, the Church of Satan would embrace things like sodomy, wouldn't they?
Right. Would embrace all those things that are anti-Christ, anti-God's gospel.
So then Darlene McCormick Sanchez should know that this was not a Christian church, but it was the first satanic church in Katy, right, which sponsored a sold-out family drag bingo event to raise money to benefit sodomy. Now, what kind of parents would take their children to such an event?
A very confused, liberal set of parents who are either extremely ignorant and easily led or evil, wicked, so I'm hoping they're just extremely naive, ignorant, and easily led.
All right, very good. Well, the thing of it is, Joe, these people are reprobate. The Bible, the word that's used is called reprobate.
Reprobate mind, yes. It's gone
right
over to the dark side.
Okay, Ihan Omar linked to charity, which allegedly raised millions for starving children, but never fed anyone. The FBI raid uncovered. Now, let me ask you this. That was the woman, the Muslim woman, who slept with her own brother.
Right. Married her own brother to get into the U.S.
She's the one out of Minnesota. Mm. Feeding Our Future received a whopping $197.9 million. That's taxpayers' money, to provide food to starving Minnesota children impacted by COVID-19 restrictions. But not one penny of it went to feeding children, Joe. The radical anti-Semite Congresswoman Ihan Omar is deeply connected to one of the businesses involved in the alleged fraud. Now, the FBI recently raided the charity's headquarters and found that none of this money was actually spent feeding kids, according to Sasha Journal. Now, it's good to see the FBI actually doing their job for a change, isn't it?
Well, you'd think, but I notice she's still, running around Congress. She's still grabbing the camera at every opportunity and speaking to the people. And she hasn't been charged or arrested yet, so...
Well, I mean, don't...
Believe it when I see them, put her in handcuffs and lead her away.
Well, look, is she a Democrat?
Yes. Oh, liberal.
Okay, is not the FBI simply a branch of the Democratic Party?
Yep, and it's taking orders from the Department of Justice, apparently.
Well, is that not simply a branch of the Democratic Party?
Right. They take their orders from Joe Obama.
Joe Obama is pulling
the strings on Joe Obama.
Obama is pulling Joe Obama strings.
Yeah, that's what I said, didn't I? Joe Obama?
Yeah. Well, what we need to do, maybe make a song. Obama, Joe Obama. Okay. Yeah, I think we'll put something together. No. Here, Alpha News reports one of the establishments, a safari restaurant, a Somali eatery located in Minneapolis, Powderhorn Park neighborhood safari, has been a focal point of Representative Ihan Omar's engagement with the constituents for years. She appeared there numerous times and even hosted a 2018 victory party at the restaurant, the owners of which are now accused of stealing millions. How do you think, Joe, she gets reelected there?
Spreading the wealth around, and actually she's not the only one that benefited real well from that. You're talking about that money that came from the payroll protection plan, right? Those billions?
No, the money. This money that I was referring to here, Feeding Our Future, it's an organization called Feeding Our Future. $197.9 million. Okay. So, now here,
yeah, I thought it came out of that.
No, Joe. The way she gets reelected is they brought in all the Somalis in that area where she's at, and these are all Muslims. They're all Muslims in that area where they basically. And who brought all them Somalis in there? Obama.
Yes.
Right.
Uh huh. And they congregated like we told people that Muslims always do. We told them all through history, if they couldn't win a country by force, they would start sending people in. They would congregate in an area, get control of the area, then start expanding their area of power and control till they would be able to take over a portion or all of the city. And then they would spread the poison throughout the land and take over that way.
And so here,
in Sharia law,
this organization that she had, it was supposed to feed 5,000 children a day, which it never fed any of them at all, Feeding Our Future. But let me tell you what it did do,
but
Joe.
She bought a lot of votes, didn't she?
Well, she bought an $87,000 pickup truck, $1 million home in Plymouth, and a $2.8 million mansion in Minneapolis, okay? But it didn't buy any food for the hungry children.
Food, yeah.
But I mean, look.
A lot of votes too.
If you're a Democrat, aren't you allowed to do that? What about these? What about these people for Black Lives Matter? Three.
Yeah, all the mansions and homes and money spent on family. Yeah, it was the same thing. It was nothing but corruption. These Marxists were playing the capitalistic system for all it's worth, and they got wealthy until they started getting caught.
Well, wasn't that just reparations?
I think the police have other words for it. There was a, what is it, Bunko artist or...
Alrighty.
Bunko squad used to go after.
Here you go.
Before we get too far, I've got a warning out there. We need to get something out. I want every parent, every grandparent listening, pay very, very, very close attention. The border people, the authorities down there, have confiscated a lot of fentanyl. But now in Connecticut, they confiscated 15,000 fentanyl pills. Now, what is different is they are disguised as candy. Yep, the Drug Enforcement Administration Special Officer Derek Maltz warned warned parents, with the approach of one of the year's biggest candy seasons, Halloween, this fentanyl had been stashed in packages marked Skittles and Nerds. These are very popular candy brands with young children. Skittles and Nerds are all over the place. Kids go around and pop them all the time in their mouth without thinking. And Maltz went on to say, we've already seen kids as 12, 13 die from fentanyl because now they're not only making it look like candy, they're making it. I've got a picture I'm staring at of different colored little balls. Real
I'm looking at the same thing.
Look just like Skittles.
And so they've confiscated 15,000 fentanyl pills in an operation that went down to Connecticut. The poison was disguised, okay? There, that is really a drug enforcement. So now, what would you, first of all, is it a good idea? I was never, you know what I used to do? I would go out with gospel tracts, and I would have Matt go up with a gospel tract, and a gospel tract talked about what Halloween was all about. And he would go up and he would hand out the gospel tracts, okay? So we took advantage of that to witness to people. And we went through, and we weren't the only ones. A whole lot of us was putting out the gospel tracts. Halloween is not exactly...
We tried to get different local churches to have just a fall festival party where they bobbed for apples and sang and different things and had a good time. And kept the children off the streets and talked about Christ rather than Halloween. But going back, I want the people to know something. This guy, the DEA, said 40% of the pills contain a potentially lethal dose. There's a little bit of fentanyl and everything, but 40% of those pills, lethal dose. Now, I got to remember, the fentanyl comes from China. And our government doesn't say anything. China makes it. Mexico is the one that takes the chemicals, puts it together in different forms, gets it across. So between China and the cartels there, this stuff is flowing. They've had enough fentanyl, I think. They've stopped at the border to kill just about every man, woman, child in this country. And this is, I think, this is an act of war. When you try and destroy a nation's children, when you kill, 70, 80,000 people a year from your opioid deaths, I call that an act of war, Pastor Ernie, and I think we better start getting mad, very angry. They are killing the children, our grandchildren. Our children,
you don't understand, Joe. You don't understand. The World Economic Forum says we have to depopulate the planet, okay? So
yeah,
you don't understand it.
With them, I'm
listen.
Angry enough that let's start with them. Get rid of them.
I mean, don't you know that if it was wrong, of course you'd be hearing about it on NBC, ABC, or CBS. That they would be reporting all of these people that are dying. Right? I mean, because people have been conditioned and indoctrinated, right, to wait till they hear from NBC, ABC, or CBS. So so they'll know. So then they know that it's wrong. Now, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we got a prayer request that came in, and we need to offer up a prayer for these people who were poisoned and had their lungs burnt with chlorine gas. And so it's a kind of a little bit of a story. So when we come back, we're going to start off with a prayer for Scott and Barb and the other 25 people that... Who had this happen to them. They're having some pretty tough times right now trying to stay alive. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries.
14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.